chapter 7, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 14. As Daniel shares with us a vision that the Lord had given him of the coming kingdom of God. We have been focusing in on heaven, and we're getting near the end of our series, and this morning we're going to focus more on the coming kingdom when God's kingdom comes to the earth and what that looks like for us. But Daniel writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying on his bed. He wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me were four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts of each different from the others came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground, so that it stood on 2 feet like a man, and the heart of a man was given to it. And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. It had been raised up on one of its sides, and it had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And it was told, 'Get up and eat your fill of flesh.' After that I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard. And on its back it had 4 wings like those of a bird. And this beast had 4 heads, and it was given authority to rule. After that in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was a 4th beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth, and it crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little horn, which came up from among them, and the 3 of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth that spoke boastfully." That there is a picture of the Antichrist yet to come that God revealed to Daniel. "And as I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as wool, and the hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and his wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming from out before him, and thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000s upon 10,000 stood before him, and the court was seated, and the books were open." Explaining a little bit before we move on, Daniel had a vision of 4 beasts, 4 kingdoms coming in succession, picturing from his day, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome, and the kingdom of the Antichrist. And in the midst of that, he sees a vision of Jesus, picking up in verse 11. "Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. And I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples and nations and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion and will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." And here it's a reading of God's word. And to that we say, praise God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word and for the vision that you revealed to Daniel of your coming kingdom. And Lord, our hearts are longing for that day when you come to this earth, when heaven comes down and your kingdom is established here forever. What a glorious day that will be. An everlasting dominion, an everlasting reign, where all things are reconciled together, heaven and earth through Christ. Lord, you've given us a little picture of that in your word this morning. And as we open up your word together, encourage us with your truth of what you have promised us, of what is yet ahead. And Lord, may we be encouraged as we live now, waiting patiently, looking for the day, and that our faith will become sight. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you here like to wait? Anybody here like to wait? I don't see one single hand. I don't either. If you're in the doctor's office and you have an appointment and then all of a sudden the doctor gets delayed and you're waiting and waiting and waiting, isn't that frustrating? Or you have to wait, or do you really like to wait on an event that you're looking forward to, something you're looking forward to coming and you're planning and it seems like it's waiting forever, like a trip, you're planning for a vacation and you've been planning for over a year to go. And it's like you're waiting and waiting and waiting because you're looking forward to this great, great event to come. And it seems like it's taking forever. Time seems to drag on. I remember when I was in high school, and every year in the spring, in May, we would have what was called school picnic. And our school, all the school district would close down, and we all would go to Kennywood Park in Pittsburgh for the day. And we'd get to spend the day at the amusement park, and we always did that every year. And I remember, I could not wait. The night before I was going to Kennywood, I was up all night long. I just could not sleep because I was so excited about going to Kennywood to ride on the roller coasters and spend the day at the park. And it's a great event you're looking forward to. It's like, man, I just can't wait for it to get here. Or maybe it's a vacation you're planning and you just can't sleep. Well, Jesus taught us, when he was on earth, when he was, the disciples asked him a question one day and said, "Master, teach us how to pray as John taught his disciples." So in response to that, Jesus gave what we call the Lord's Prayer, but really is a model prayer. It's a model prayer on how to guide us in our prayer life. And one of the petitions in that prayer that Jesus taught us to pray was, "Your will be done, your kingdom come on earth. And may your will be done on earth as in heaven." And Jesus taught us that we should be praying for the coming of the kingdom of God. The day that the kingdom of God will arrive and Jesus' rule and reign will be set up and all evil will be banished. And don't you look forward to that day? We look forward to the day that heaven will be on earth and all will be made right. And John and Daniel was given a vision of that in the scripture this morning. And we should be praying for the coming of the kingdom and looking forward to that event. And in Daniel chapter 7, he's in Babylon. And if you remember about Daniel, he was a young Jewish boy. And when he was a young teenager, he was taken captive into Babylon. Babylon had conquered Israel at this time. And God had allowed that to happen because of their sin. And God had sent prophet after prophet to Israel, warning them to repent, to come back, because they had forsaken the Lord and they had forsaken their faith in him and had gone after false gods. And so God, in judgment, allowed them to be taken into captivity. So Daniel was a young boy at the time, taken into captivity, living in exile in Babylon, an enemy country. And there he was elevated. God had given him the vision, the ability to see dreams and interpret them. And he became in service to the king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar. Now it's years later, it's King Belteshazzar who is now reigning, and Daniel was given another vision in the middle of the night. And in this vision, he saw four beasts coming out of the sea, terrifying. And if you had a dream like this, it would be like terrifying. What is God trying to say? Seeing a ferocious lion is ferocious enough with wings, but a bear and a leopard with four heads, those are all terrifying creatures. But the most ferocious was all was the last one, which was really, he said, unlike all the others. And he had this dream and he's trying to figure it out what it meant. But God is revealing to him in this dream of four kingdoms that were going to be coming in succession. And then the final kingdom from Daniel's day, the lion representing Babylon, the bear representing Media Persia, which was going to come next, the leopard representing Greece, and then the terrible beast representing Rome, and then also the kingdom of the Antichrist that was going to come out of that. And God had given Daniel this vision of these kingdoms that were coming, but yet at the end, he saw the Lord, who was seated above them all, and they represented those four kingdoms in succession. As I said, it's amazing about how the Holy Spirit revealed this Daniel had this vision before any of these kingdoms were ever known or come into power. But the Lord had revealed to him specifically what was going to occur through the future. But through the midst of it, God reigned. And in the end of it, he had a vision that the Lord, the King of Kings, was going to come and his kingdom was going to supersede them all. In Daniel chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream about a great statue where it had a head of gold and then silver and bronze and clay. And representing again the kingdoms coming in succession. And in King Nebuchadnezzar's dream, there was a rock that was hewn out of a mountain. And that rock was cast at the statue and broken into pieces, and it fell before, and the mountain rock came up, ascended over all of them. And what the Lord was showing was that the king, the Lord's kingdom, the coming kingdom of the Lord supersedes them all, and his kingdom reigns forever. So Daniel had this vision about these kingdoms coming in succession, and the grace, and the fifth and final kingdom is the coming kingdom of the Lord. Now we've been learning a lot about heaven through these weeks together. And this morning, as we talk about, as we see Daniel's vision, he's describing a day when the Ancient of Days, the King of Kings, comes and sets up his kingdom here. And he's going to reign forever in everlasting dominion. Verse 14 says, his dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. We've learned so far about how God is going to restore this earth. We've learned that when we die now, those that die now are with Jesus in his Father's house, but in a temporary place. But there is coming a day of permanence when heaven will be on this earth, when the Lord will make things right. And we're seeing in this final vision the reality of that, of the kingdom of being set up here on earth, on the newly restored kingdom. So as we look at the scripture this morning, we discover six truths about this coming kingdom that we want to learn. And first is an earthly kingdom. That when the Lord's kingdom comes, when Jesus comes, heaven on earth. We think of heaven, a lot of people think that heaven, and we've learned this now, heaven is, when we go, it's not going to be up there, it's going to be down here. And the final kingdom is on earth, and it's going to be where the Lord is reigning. His kingdom is an everlasting dominion, and it's not different from any of the others over it. His kingdom is going to be here on earth. God is with us. We've seen in Revelation chapter 21, that in that last day, John saw a vision of the holy city coming down from above and resting on this earth. And this is where God is going to reign, and this is where we're going to live, in that new kingdom, in that new heaven and earth, an earthly kingdom where the Lord will reign with us, just as we had seen in the Garden of Eden when God created Adam and Eve and put them in the garden, and all things were new. And God had lived with them there and resided with them in the garden and came down with them and talked with them. And so it will be God created us to live on earth. And so that final day when all is made right, we will live forever. His kingdom will reign here on earth, everlasting for all time. It's an earthly kingdom. It's where God designed us to be. Jesus had said, thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, reminding us that the day is coming that he will live with us here on earth forever. Looking forward to that day when all will be made right. It's an earthly kingdom, but it's also a restored kingdom. As we look at verses 13 to 14, Daniel says, it says, in my vision, and there before me was one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven, and he approached the Ancient Days, which is God the Father, and was led into his presence. And he was given authority and sovereign power over all peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. His kingdom will never be destroyed. When the Lord establishes his kingdom and heaven comes to earth in that final place that is set here in the restored earth, it is going to be restored back to the way God intended. Because in the garden, when God made everything good, that was his plan, that he would live with man on earth and we would live with him forever. And that was his plan. But sin had come in and Satan into the garden and tempted Adam and Eve and distorted that. And at the garden, Satan usurped that throne, the throne where God had given man to rule. And Satan had usurped that, and he had taken over that throne in that position. And the Bible now calls Satan the god of this world. But he has tried to usurp that authority and that control that was given to us, given to God for this world. And all things will be restored back to Christ. And when that kingdom comes, he will reign and all will be made right. It says, notice all the kingdoms here. Verse 12, it says all the other beasts had been stripped of their authority. And because when Jesus comes, all will bow before him. And all other authority and all other power will be gone and bow before Christ and acknowledge that he alone is God. And he will restore and make things right. It says in Colossians that he will reconcile all heaven and earth to himself through Jesus. And when the kingdom comes, Jesus is going to live here on earth in a restored earth, beautifully, all sin taken away, all sickness banished, all former things passed away, and all that heartache will be gone forever, and we will live in peace, and we will live eternally, unable to sin anymore, unable, there are no more sickness, no more suffering, no more brokenness in this world. And don't you long for that day? And he will restore and make all things right. And all that we deal with now, all the brokenness in this world, all the sickness, all the heartache, will all be gone forever. And Christ will reign supreme in a restored, perfect earth. We long for that day. All other kingdoms will vanish and be thrown into the fire, and all that was left is Christ alone, and he will reign. It is also a righteous kingdom. Verses 9 through 10 tells us in this vision that Jesus is supreme. Daniel saw Jesus lifted up, and he said, as he described the four coming kingdoms, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome, and they were described as these terrible, ferocious beasts because of the destruction that they were going to bring on the earth. His vision was then taken up into heaven, and he saw the Son of Man and the Ancient of Days who took a seat. And it says his clothing was as white as snow, and his hair was as white as wool. That white just simply means purity and holiness. Is a description, as he saw the Lord, he saw him as pure and holy and righteous. That purity, white meaning no sin, absolute purity. And his throne was flaming with fire again. The fire was the purity and the radiance and the holiness coming out from him. And thousands upon thousands attended him. And he got a vision of the Lord. And then he saw that the king had come, Jesus had come, and would set up his kingdom and reign. When Jesus comes, sets up his kingdom, it's going to be a righteous kingdom. There will no longer be any injustice. There will be no longer any evil. We don't know what it's like to live under totally righteous rule. We've never experienced it in this earth because of the fall. We've never known what it's like to have anyone in authority and power that does not have any kind of imperfection or any kind of righteousness. But one day, that kingdom, when Jesus reigns, it's going to be a totally righteous kingdom. No sin. He is perfect, and we will not be able to sin anymore. Sin, sickness, evil will not be present, will ever be. And it will be living in righteousness forever. In the Garden of Eden, restored back to what the Garden of Eden was like before the fall, and this time, the ability will not be able, Satan will not be able to destroy it, because he himself will be bound and cast away. So it is a righteous kingdom. The coming kingdom also is a victorious kingdom. Verses 19 to 27, Daniel had questions. And as he saw this vision, and anybody would, it said in verse 15, he said, I was troubled in my spirit when I saw this vision in my mind. He said, it disturbed me. And I guess anybody would, if we have a terrible vision like this of these ferocious beasts trying to figure out what it meant. And Daniel said, I was troubled with what I saw. And he said, so I approached one of those standing there, gave him understanding. He said, what does this mean? And he said, the four beasts are four kingdoms that will rise from the earth, but the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and possess it forever. He said, then I wanted to know the true meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, which represented Rome, and then out of that, the kingdom of the Antichrist. And the beast that crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. I also wanted to know about the 10 horns on his head and the other horn that came up before them, before three of them fell, and the horn that looked more imposing than all the others and had eyes and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I watched, this horn was waging war against the saints and defeating them. That's a picture what he saw there of the Antichrist fighting against God's redeemed. Until the ancient days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High, and then the time came when they possessed the kingdom. God had given a vision to Daniel of that day, of the end times, when the Antichrist would rise, he would make war, and there would be war against the Christians. We would be persecuted until the day that Jesus comes. But then Jesus will set up his kingdom and will rule and reign and win the victory. When Jesus returns out of heaven and he comes again, King of kings and Lord of lords, all those who oppose him will be defeated in one fell swoop. Said by the word of his mouth, they will be laid at his feet. And Christ has won the victory. And Satan will be destroyed. He will be bound into the lake of fire forever, no longer able to terrorize. Those beasts' ferocious teeth will be destroyed. All evil will be banished. The victory will be won. And you know what, friends? We will share in that too. It says we will ride back with him and we will share in that victory and we will live in a victorious kingdom for all eternity. And we will share in that victory of Christ. The victory over death, the victory over sin, the victory over sickness, all of that will be past. And we will live with him, with the Ancient of Days, in that coming kingdom. It's a victorious one. And we look forward to that. It's also a conferred kingdom, that the Lord will confer that upon us, and we will share in that. In verse 18, Daniel, the Lord said to Daniel, he said, the fourth beast will be destroyed, and when the kingdom comes, the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. Paul says in Romans that we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. When you are saved, and the moment you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you became royal. You became an heir to all the promises of God. You became a co-heir with Christ. And what God has promised him, he has promised you. And when the Lord reigns on earth, and the new heaven and the new earth is here, you realize you're going to reign with him. And the Lord is conferring that kingdom upon you. It says the saints, that's you, who know Christ, will inherit the kingdom. You are in store for a great inheritance, friends. Something wonderful to look forward to, a kingdom that shall not pass away. A kingdom that will endure forever. And we can't, kingdom, we can't even begin to describe how great it is. And you are an heir to that. Isn't that glorious? He is conferring that on you. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus speaking, and the context here was around the Last Supper. And Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, and he was getting ready to share the Last Supper with them, the bread and the cup for the last time. His heart was heavy because he knew he was going to the cross. And as he was getting ready to give the bread and the cup, do you know what the disciples were thinking about? Who the greatest one was. It says they were arguing over their place of sitting around the table, over who was going to be the one closest to Jesus and where they were and who was going to be the greatest in the coming kingdom. And they were arguing over all of that. Verse 24 says that a dispute arose among them who was to be considered the greatest. And Jesus said, the kings of the Gentiles lorded over them, and those who exercise authority lord it over themselves, call themselves benefactors, but you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest to be the youngest. And one who rules like one who serves. For the greater is, who is the greater, the one who's at table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who's at table? But I among you is one whom serves. But he goes on to say in verse 26, but I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. He also said that we will judge the angels. But God is conferring that kingdom upon us. That's our inheritance. That's our promise. Peter said, an inheritance kept in heaven for you that will not spoil, perish, fade, or rust, or pass away. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 22 to 28, when God created Adam and Eve, created mankind, and placed them in the garden, he placed them in the garden to rule the earth for him. He said, take dominion over the earth and rule it for me. And he conferred upon them the ability to rule in the earth. It's going to be the same in the new heaven and new earth, that he is giving us the authority to rule for him and with him. Revelation chapter 21, verse 7 says that we all who overcome will inherit all of this. And in Revelation chapter 22, verse 5, it says that we will rule with him. So God has conferred a glorious inheritance on you, friends. So look forward to that day. He is conferring upon you a kingdom that will last, an inheritance to a royal kingdom forever. Jesus is the first fruits of those who live. And in biblical times, when a king or someone in authority would give their inheritance, they would give it to the firstborn. Usually a double portion, and the firstborn could give it to who he wanted. Firstborn could be. But through Christ, as the firstborn, we share in that. And we share because he's the first fruits of those that live, and then us as well. And we share in that promise of a coming conferred kingdom. And it's an everlasting kingdom. Verse 14 says that his dominion, his reign will never pass away. It will never be destroyed. Our life on earth, sometimes it seems like a long time. I mean, and if God gives us grace 70, 80, 90 years, and that seems like a long time in this earth, but you know, it's a little blink of eye compared to eternity. And the kingdom, when the Lord reigns and we live with him forever, it's not going to end. It's hard for us to comprehend what eternity is, isn't it? It's hard for us because we're used to finite. We're used to having something with a beginning and something with an end. And we can't comprehend something that goes on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But someday when the kingdom comes and God lives with us here and we will reign with him for all time, for all eternity with no end, we can't begin to comprehend that. But that's what we have to look forward to. On the other side of that, for those who don't know Jesus, it says that those in the lake of fire will be cast in for all eternity as well, and that will not end. And for those who are lost will be in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever in everlasting torment. But we will be in everlasting righteousness with Jesus, with him for all eternity. Hard to comprehend, but it's an everlasting one. It will not end. Will not. All those other kingdoms that Daniel was given a vision of, all those great horrible beasts, as horrific as they looked, and that they brought on earth during the time. They all, one came, and another one came, and another one came, and another one. They all passed away. But God's kingdom will never pass away. His rule and his reign on earth will be forever. Isn't that? We look forward to that. The coming of the kingdom. Christ, heaven on earth, and us with him. So our God reigns. And Jesus shall reign forever and ever. He's reigning now in the intermediate heaven, but someday he will reign forever here on earth, and we will reign with him. So the question is God reigning over every aspect of your life today? Because he is king, and because he is Lord, we will bow before him, and we should bow before him. But just as in the garden when Satan tried to usurp the throne and the rule and control from God, and our earth has been suffering ever since, sometimes we can try to usurp the authority and rule from God. God is to be on the throne of our heart and as Lord and Master, and we, as Savior, call him our Lord, meaning he is the one we bow before. But sometimes we can usurp the throne, can't we? And I think of, in our modern cars that we have, they have that system where you can put on that if you get out of lane, it kind of pulls you back. You know what I mean? And it kind of helps you stay in track. And some people don't like that and they turn it off because they don't like to be pulled back. But you know what that is? It's a matter of control. And are we going to trust the control? And whenever we get out of control, out of lane, that pulls us back. And sometimes, and God has given us the Holy Spirit, that when we are trying to usurp authority, he says, hey, you're out of line here. You need to yield that back to Christ. So is there some place, just like Satan tried to usurp that authority, where we have usurped the throne, where we want to say, Lord, I'm holding on to this. I'm not letting you have this part of my life. I'm keeping it for me. That's a question we need to ask as we wait for the coming of the kingdom. He reigns, and he will reign, but is he reigning supremely in our life right now? Where have I usurped a throne? Where have I taken a hold of the steering wheel instead of letting God have it? Where am I saying, Lord, I'm holding on to this? Let the Holy Spirit speak that to you. And Jesus taught us, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. So his will is always done in heaven. But is his will being done in me? That's the other question to ask. When his kingdom comes, his will be done on earth as it is done in heaven, because heaven and earth will be the same at that point. And when he has come, his will be done. But is his will being done in me now? Am I yielding what he wants, or am I doing what I want to do? Jesus demonstrated it for us in the garden when he prayed, Father, not my will, but your will be done. In that attitude of submission, and that attitude of reverence, that he is God, he reigns. And even as he will reign, he needs to be reigning now within us as Lord and Master and King. We long for the day of the coming of the kingdom. And Jesus said the kingdom is coming, but he also said the kingdom of God is within us, meaning that he lives within us and his rule and reign through the Holy Spirit. So as we look for the day when his kingdom will come on earth, we live with his kingdom in us now, yielding to him, to his lordship, and to his majesty, that all will be made right as we follow him, because his kingdom is an everlasting dominion and it will not pass away, and his kingdom will never be destroyed. So we long for that day. And as the scripture ends, the book of Revelation ends the scripture by saying that prayer, even so come, Lord Jesus. And that's our prayer, Lord, even so that your kingdom someday come to earth soon, that we may live with you and you with us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for that hope of the coming of your kingdom, that you've revealed to Daniel that all other kingdoms will fall before you, that they may come in succession, and they may rise up as ugly, terrifying beasts, but then you will come, and all of them will pass away, and your kingdom will reign forever. Heaven on earth. We long for that day. But until that day, you are the King. You are Lord. And may you rule supreme in us. And Lord, are there areas in our life that we have tried to usurp the control away from you, just as it happened in the garden, and we have been suffering for it ever since? Lord, may we realize and surrender, not our will, but yours be done. May your will be done on earth as it is always done in heaven. May your will be done in me as it is always done in heaven. And Lord, may that be all of our prayer this morning, that your will be done in me as it is done in heaven. And someday when heaven and earth are combined here, your will always be done. So Father, we thank you for the hope that we have of that promise of a kingdom that will never pass away, of a dominion, of a rule that is righteous and victorious, and all sickness and suffering and pain and heartache will be gone forever, and that we will rule and reign with you and for all eternity. All because of what you've done for us on the cross, that you are reconciling heaven and earth together through your Son Jesus, through the blood shed on the cross, through your death, burial, and resurrection and life, and our faith and trust in you alone. That we become partakers of your glory and co-heirs with Christ of a glorious kingdom yet to come. So thank you, Lord, for revealing that to us, for all your word has been teaching us about heaven and about the glorious hope and promise and future that you have in store for us, your children. And so, Lord, may we be encouraged by that and be thankful for the role that you bring in our lives through Jesus Christ. And in him we pray. Amen.